VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Friends, as we are reminded, as the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. Certainly, we are seeing that exhibited in our in society around us. Certainly, it's happening in our nation as it is in countries all over the world. And we trust that today's program is going to keep you informed on critical issues. Some of these, no doubt, will cause greater burdens to be praying for our nation and its leaders, also for greater engagement into the matters that are impacting us across the nation, and to see the importance of being both salt and light in these days. You no doubt have heard the news that yesterday the House passed the so-called Equality Act. That vote was 224 to 206. That would write transgenderism right into our federal civil rights laws. It also would compel medical professionals to commit abortions and transgender surgeries and expand taxpayer-funded abortion on demand, reports LifeSiteNews.com. Representative Vicky Hartzler, Missouri, voted against the bill, said should this bill become law, the well-being of our children, the role of parents, the privacy and safety of vulnerable women, the competitive edge of female athletes, the livelihoods of charities and businesses, and the integrity of our healthcare system will all be jeopardized. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Three Republicans voted for this conscience-crushing legislation. Representative Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, John Katko of New York, and Tom Reed, also of New York. Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council said, "We're witnessing the greatest assault on religious freedom, biological reality, and parental rights ever seen in the U.S. Congress." He said the act demands that faith be quarantined within your mind and says that's where it must stay. However, Bible believers cannot set God's rule aside to bow before the Equality Act. And indeed, as the vote came out yesterday, I've got a copy of the vote here. Every single Democratic member of the House present yesterday, 221, voted in favor of the Equality Act. On the nay side, 206 Republicans voted nay. Not one Democrat voted nay. The three Republicans I named did vote in favor of the so-called Equality Act. And another story here from Epoch Times, passage in the Senate, somewhat in doubt as the upper chamber is evenly split between the two parties, with Vice President Kamala Harris, who supports the proposal to cast the deciding vote in the event of a tie. The House debate got hot almost as soon as it started, only a few minutes in. Congressman Maloney of New York branded as ridiculous Republican claims that the bill represents a threat to religious freedom. Maloney also argued that Republicans believe LGBTQ are morally inferior, that their real argument is that they are pro-discrimination against gay people. His angry outburst prompted Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio, to stand up and hold up a sheaf of paper and declare, "Here it is. On page 25, it says specifically, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 shall not provide a legal basis for a claim. The founders said in the first right, in the First Amendment to the Constitution, you can practice your religion as you see fit, but right here in the bill, the Democrats say, no, you can't," said Jordan. Representative Mike Quigley, Democrat from Illinois, declared near the end of the debate that the religious freedom arguments presented by the Republican opposition were transphobia, homophobia, and hate. Folks, are you understanding what's going on here? Did you hear what he said? A congressman from Illinois, Representative Quigley, said that the religious freedom argument that was presented by the Republican opposition were transphobia, homophobia, and hate. Now, keep in mind, this 500-page bill redefines public accommodation in the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to include any establishment that provides a service. By the way, did you know that means churches? Do you know that means homeless shelters and that are operated by religious groups? That means adoption agencies? That means educational institutions? And as Jordan pointed out, the bill explicitly sets aside a provision of the Freedom of Religion Restoration Act that religion does not apply. By the way, the other thing that's interesting is that this never had a committee hearing. No committee hearings, no testimony, no witnesses were brought in on this. They went right to the floor of the Congress. Representative Victoria Spartz of Indiana said, I'm not even sure why we have bother with committees when we pass significant legislation without them. Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania issued a statement saying all people should be treated with respect and no one should face discrimination in their daily lives, but this extreme bill would erode our nation's progress toward women's equality and threaten religious liberty enshrined in the First Amendment. If enacted, it would have real-world consequences, such as biological men participating in women's athletics. It's shocking that Democrats think that this is good for society and a political priority. Religious and nonprofit schools that violate the bill could lose their tax-exempt status, and schools could lose accreditation, which means they could not accept student loans, and many graduates could not be able to be accepted into graduate school, said Liberty Counsel. The expanse of the bill includes church and college overnight stays with youth or students, dorm sports, bathroom, locker rooms, and showers. Liberty Counsel also said that allowing biological males who self-identify as women to compete against biological females puts women at a disadvantage and can cost female athletes the titles, records, and scholarships that are rightfully theirs and can even lead to serious sports-related injuries. Congressman Chip Roy, Texas, he slammed this bill. He had a press conference earlier yesterday and vowed to fight this Equality Act should it pass the Senate and receive Joe Biden's signature in court. I want you to hear what he had to say as he was among others with the Freedom Caucus.
I'm really, really proud today to be associated with this group, the House Freedom Caucus. We're standing in front of an institution, the United States Congress, which is fundamentally broken to its core. It is no longer representing the values of the American people. It is no longer doing what it is called to do to secure the blessings of liberty as is outlined in the Constitution of the United States. But rather, this body being led by Democrats is trampling on the rights of the American people in the name of equality, in the false name of equality. The Declaration is clear. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But government is instituted among men to what? Secure those rights. Look around. This is about power, ladies and gentlemen. And you in the media should be as concerned about this as anyone else. It is your job to hold government accountable and get information to the public to know what's really going on. And look around. Look at the fences. Look at the razor wire. This isn't a free society. This is a government using its power to tell us to bow down to the will of a cultural elite in this town who want to tell us what we're supposed to believe. We're not going to do that. Let me be clear. We are not going to do that. My wife and I work very hard, products of the public school system, K through law school, both of us, to scrape and save to pay our kids to go to a private Christian school. Why? Because we're being pushed into the corner so that we can carry out our beliefs without penalty, ostracization. That this body now wants to do, the Speaker Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the Democrat leaders want to do. We're not going to be painted in the corner because this is about tyranny over the mind of men. Famous quote by Thomas Jefferson. That is what this is about. We're going to oppose this bill. We're going to fight this bill in the Senate. But to be perfectly clear, if you pass this legislation, it is not with the consent of the governed. That is what the Declaration of Independence talks about, is the consent of the governed. And if you don't have it, then the law has no force, because it has to come from the consent of the governed. And they are trampling it, and they are ripping apart this country by its threads. Our federalist system allows us to agree to disagree, and we should be able to do that. But if this Democratic Congress and if the Democratic leadership and if this White House continues to trample the rights of the people of the United States, then it is they who will be destroying this union. It is they who will have to look in the mirror and say that they ripped this republic apart for their kids and grandkids. I'm proud to stand with this group. We'll oppose this legislation, but we're going to keep fighting it in the courts and beyond, but most importantly, through free will as American citizens and our right to live free and to alter this government as necessary if they continue to trample our rights.
Congressman Chip Roy of Texas with a very eloquent presentation yesterday on the very day that the House passed the so-called Equality Act. Well, it's interesting also what happened yesterday. Toymaker Hasbro announced yesterday it was dropping the Mr. and Mrs. from the Potato Head toys beginning this fall. According to Fast Company's Elizabeth Segrin, the decision was based on the way toddlers play with the toys. Young children often make families with potato heads, and not all families look the same. Culture has evolved, Kimberly Boyd, a senior vice president and general manager at Hasbro, told Fast Company. Kids want to be able to represent their own experiences. The way the brand currently exists with the Mr. and Mrs. is limiting when it comes to both gender identity and family structure. Dropping the titles will allow the kids to add whatever type of clothing and accessories they want to the potatoes, allowing for a more varied expression of gender and sexuality, Fast Company reports. Folks, dropping Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head? Well, evidently, there must have been some backlash immediately because later yesterday afternoon, there was a tweet that went out from Hasbro in which they clarified that while the brand is changing, the actual Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head characters will still live on and be sold in stores. In a picture posted on Twitter, the Mr. and Mrs. names, though, are far less prominently displayed at the bottom of the box instead of at the top. How far are we going to go? Banning Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head? Oh, here's how far we're going to go, because a bill has just been introduced in California that will require gender-neutral stores and will fine retailers $1,000 for having separate boy and girl toy departments. California's Assembly, this is from the Daily Wire, slated to consider a new bill requiring department store children's sections to be largely gender-neutral in order to combat prejudice and judgment against gender nonconforming children. Large retailers that sell toys, clothes, and other children's items in California would have to devote floor space to merchandise marketed to both boys and girls under the new bill. Politico reported earlier this week that stores would be able to sell the same products they do now as long as they maintain some areas where shoppers can find all toys or clothes regardless of gender-based marketing. It would apply to department stores with 500 more employees beginning in the year 2023. So size 5, you're putting in all the little girls' clothes right next to the boys' clothes. You have to mix up all the Tonka trucks with the Barbie dolls, etc., etc., etc. Western Journal reporting that the percentage of voters, emerging voters who identify as LGBT, is roughly 8 times as high as that of older Americans. Here's the product of education, folks. A Gallup poll conducted from the year 2020 found in the age group Generation Z, ages 18 to 23, that now almost 16% said that they're in a category that is not heterosexual. Amazing. We'll be back in a minute with more stories, including an attack on prayer. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how can some lizards walk and even hang upside down on very smooth surfaces?
Chris, this is an amazing feat. Consider the gecko, which can stick to almost any surface, even a polished pane of glass. It attaches itself by tiny hairs on its feet, which are so tiny they're packed at about 500 per square inch. Each hair exerts a tiny chemical force which is attracted to the glass surface, and together they support the weight of the lizard. By curling and uncurling the toes, the lizards can break this bond and move on and take another step. You know, often engineers notice an ability in animals and attempt to mimic it in engineering design. And that's what they're trying to do in this case. Maybe by modeling the gecko lizard, we can even have Spider-Man clinging to smooth surfaces. Such things are possible if you go back to Genesis for your starting point.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, an attack upon prayer. Now, folks, we're going to take you across the waters to the UK. And as we have there from the Christian Institute, an LGBT activist has called for Christians to be banned from praying for someone with unwanted same-sex attraction. Writing in The Independent, Matthew Hindman, who co-founded the lobby group Ban Conversion Therapy, denies that anyone willingly seeks out such help. He said the pernicious power of prayer must be dealt with. Hindman said that as a young adult, he worked as a missionary, wrestled with the attraction to men, which he knew was sinful. However, when he revealed he was gay to his family and church, they did not condone his desires and told him to repent. The lobbyist wrote, "Those who resist legislation against conversion therapy often resist the idea of prayer or a pastoral conversation being subject to the scrutiny of law." He added, however, "If these things take place in an overwhelmingly homophobic or transphobic context, the pernicious power of prayer must be dealt with." He said it is psychologically abusive to express pastoral concern or pray for people with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion. Did you hear that? It is psychologically abusive. Psychologically abusive to pray, to express pastoral concern or pray for people with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion, and that preaching the biblical view of sexuality only contributes to the already high levels of mental health issues reported among people from the LGBT plus community. Pastoral advice and prayer that upholds the Bible's teaching on sexual ethics were recently criminalized in the Australian state of Victoria under a draconian new conversion therapy law. The new legislation outlaws any practice that seeks to change or suppress a person's sexual orientation or gender identity, including prayer. Offenders face up to 10 years in prison. Unbelievable, folks. Offenders face up to 10 years in prison and a maximum fine up to $10,000. That's Australian money. During the 12-month implementation period, the state attorney general said religious educators, teachers, and ministers would be, quote, re-educated by the government to prevent them from breaking the law. Now they're coming after people praying. Did you know the nomination hearing took place this week for Dr. Rachel Levine? Dr. Rachel Levine is actually Richard, born with the name Richard, but identifies now as a woman, and unable to address the transgender issue, staring lawmakers in the face. Senator Rand Paul yesterday asked Dr. Rachel Levine some questions. Asked the doctor if the doctor believes that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex. Levine, President Biden's nominee for Assistant Secretary of Health, now lives as a woman. Twice Levine gave Rand Paul the same rehearsed non-answer to the question. Folks, you've got to hear what's going on. This is a person that aspires to be the Assistant Health and Human Services Secretary. Are you aware of what's going on? The vote is soon going to be taking place for confirmation. Here's the questioning. You need to hear what Rand Paul had to say and the response that came from Dr. Levine.
Genital mutilation has been nearly universally condemned. Genital mutilation has been condemned by the WHO, the United Nations Children's Fund, the United Nations Population Fund. According to the WHO, genital mutilation is recognized internationally as a violation of human rights. Genital mutilation is considered particularly egregious because, as the WHO notes, it is nearly always carried out on minors and is a violation of the rights of children. Most genital mutilation is not typically performed by force, but as WHO notes, that by social convention, social norm, the social pressure to conform, to do what others do and have been doing, as well as the need to be accepted socially and the fear of being rejected by the community. American culture is now normalizing the idea that minors can be given hormones to prevent their biological development of their secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Levine, you have supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I would look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
The specific question was about minors. Let's be a little more specific since you evaded the question. Do you support the government intervening to override the parent's consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and/or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and allow that to happen to a minor. I would hope that you would have compassion for Kira Bell, who's a 23-year-old girl who was confused with her identity. At 14, she read on the internet about something about transsexuals. She thought, well, maybe that's what I am. She ended up getting these puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. She had her breasts amputated. But here's what ultimately she says now. And this is a very insightful decision from someone who made a mistake but was led to believe this was a good thing by the medical community. I made a brash decision as a teenager, as a lot of teenagers do, trying to find confidence and happiness. Except now the rest of my life will be negatively affected, she said, adding that the medicalized gender transitioning was a very temporary, superficial fix for a very complex identity issue. What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we have believed that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER. But you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard, you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem. None of these drugs have been approved for this. They're all being used off-label. I find it ironic that the left that went nuts over hydroxychloroquine being used possibly for COVID are not alarmed that these hormones are being used off-label. There's no long-term studies. We don't know what happens to them. We do know that there are dozens and dozens of people have been through this who regret that this happened and a permanent change happened to them. And, you know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex. I can't vote for you if you can't.
Thank you so much, Senator Paul.
Well, folks, the hearing went on, and later in that hearing, now that was Rand Paul as he was questioning Dr. Rachel Levine, born Richard, but later in the hearing, Senator Patty Murray, who is chair of the committee, criticized Paul for his line of questioning. So did Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. So did Senator Tina Smith of Minnesota as well criticize Rand Paul for this. But this is what's going on. This happened in the Senate yesterday, And President Biden's nominee for Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services. By the way, you can reach out to your senators to let your views be heard. Let's go on to some other issues here today. This is from LifeSiteNews.com. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation has revealed that Amazon, Chromebook, Discord, OnlyFans, and Wish are among its 2021 Dirty Dozen list of mainstream contributors to sexual exploitation. The Dirty Dozen list is an annual campaign highlighting some 12 mainstream entities for facilitating, normalizing, and even profiting from sexual abuse and exploitation. Since 2013, the Dirty Dozen list has led to major victories in stemming sexual exploitation. Our list highlights institutions that are facilitating, even profiting from sexual exploitation, said Lena Nealon, Director of Corporate and Strategic Initiatives for the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. McDonald's executives will have bonuses cut if they hire too many white men for top positions, reports Western Journal. Race and gender in hiring are two keys to financial success for top McDonald's executives, according to the company that as it sets its course for the future. A press release on the McDonald's website says that part of the bonuses awarded to top company executives will be based upon their efforts to hire women and what the company terms historically underrepresented groups for top corporate positions. According to Sky News host Corey Bernardi, he said, never before has a leader of the free world been so cognitively compromised. It's clear to me that the U.S. President Joe Biden is struggling with dementia and is clearly not up to the task he's been sworn to do. Mr. Bernardi said it's something which was evident during the election campaign, but the partisan and poisonous mainstream media chose not to highlight anything that could have derailed a Biden victory. Even now, after he's been sworn in, many of them are still refusing to speak the truth about Biden's lack of capacity. And friends, if you understand what just happened in the NewAmerican.com, the report that Representative Jimmy Panetta, Democrat from California, is joined by nearly three dozen other Democrats Tuesday of this week, sent a letter to President Biden expressing legitimate concern over his having unilateral control of the nuclear codes. Vesting one person with the authority entails real risk. Past presidents have threatened to attack other countries with nuclear weapons or have exhibited behavior that caused foreign officials concern about the president's judgment. While any president would presumably consult with advisors before ordering a nuclear attack, there's no requirement to do so. The military is obligated to carry out the order if they assess it is legal under the laws of war. Under the current posture of U.S. nuclear forces, an attack could happen in minutes. So, the headline says, nervous Democrats want Biden to give up control of the nuclear codes. By the way, this so-called COVID package is making its way through the House of Representatives. The Daily Signal pointed out some information about it. It adds over $14,000 per household to the national debt. It's a COVID-19 bill that treats COVID as an afterthought. Less than 10% of the spending in this bill, folks, is dealing with COVID. Its massive education spending won't actually reopen schools. It opens the door for taxpayer-funded abortions. Its unprecedented minimum wage increase would kill jobs and businesses. We understand that's been struck down. It also includes benefit increases and expansion for a safety net program like unemployment and Affordable Care Act, earned income tax information, cash, welfare payments, etc. It also would give huge handouts to special interest, and its $1,400 checks would have minimal economic impact, but a maximum debt impact. We'll have some more info on this after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
We got a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk, and we're talking about this so-called COVID relief package when less than 10% is actually dealing with COVID relief. And here is from the Epoch Times, where Republicans have criticized Democrats for continuing to push their pandemic stimulus package while accepting little or no Republican input. The House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, said Wednesday that out of the 286 amendments that have been proposed by Republicans for this $1.9 trillion spending package, only two of them have been accepted. Representative Banks said Nancy Pelosi plugged in a $200 million earmark for an underground tunnel in San Francisco for Silicon Valley employees. Banks said this is a bailout to the special interest groups that gave them power. Chuck Schumer said the $1.9 trillion package, though, will provide, quote, bold COVID relief to Americans nationwide, and criticized Republicans for obstructing Democrat efforts. Well, townhall.com, they said that some of the garbage items that are in here is 591-page document, includes another round of stimulus checks, and the Paycheck Protection Program replenished with another $7 billion in funding. That ups the child tax credit significantly. Democrats set aside $50 million for family planning. As of now, the Hyde Amendment is in place, which bars taxpayer funds from being used for abortion. This, however, could set the stage for the repeal of the Hyde Amendment down the road. Howard University is the only higher education facility that would be given money to recoup funds lost during the pandemic. One university, Howard, would get it. Just happens to be that Kamala Harris is alumna of Howard University. Another $135 million will be allocated for the arts and humanities, $10 million to preserve Native American languages. Folks, what does this have to do with COVID relief? Western Journal also says President Joe Biden's coronavirus relief package has $1.5 million for the Seaway International Bridge, a part of Chuck Schumer's district. The bridge, which connects New York to Canada, is a priority for Schumer, the Senate's majority leader, the Wall Street Journal reported. And during his 10 years, Schumer has backed numerous bills and measures involving the Seaway International Bridge and its surrounding area. $1.5 million. What does this have to do with COVID? Fox Business reported yesterday that the Senate parliamentarian last night said that a federal minimum wage hike to $15 per hour does not fit the criteria to be included in this relief package. The measure does not fall in line with requirements to be passed via the fast-track budget reconciliation process, a source familiar with the ruling said. So it appears that will be removed from this particular legislation. Appears they could override the parliamentarian. WND.com. Interesting story here. A peer-reviewed study, ivermectin cuts COVID infections and deaths by 75%. If you remember, many weeks ago, we played the audio clip here of a doctor from St. Luke's Hospital that went to testify before a committee in Washington and urged them, please study ivermectin. Please, it's a cheap drug. It's readily available to us. It's inexpensive. It's going to cut this down. Let's have a peer-reviewed study. Well, folks, ivermectin in more now than 30 trials around the world causes repeated, consistent, large magnitude improvements in clinical outcomes at all stages of the disease, according to the study which was published by the U.S. journal Frontiers of Pharmacology. The evidence is so strong, the researchers believe the antiparasitic drug should become a standard therapy everywhere, hastening global recovery. The data is overwhelming. We're in a pandemic, and this is an incredibly effective way to combat it. If we use ivermectin widely, our societies can open up, said the study co-author, Professor Paul Merrick. A previous study by Professor Andrew Hill of Liverpool University also found ivermectin cuts death rates by about 75%. Dr. Harvey Risch, a professor of epidemiology at the Yale School of Public Health and Yale School of Medicine, is one of the many health experts who decried the politicization of COVID-19 treatments, such as ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. He said, you can hardly believe what anyone else says. We've lost 300,000 lives in the U.S. because our government has basically told everyone to go home, stay home, and if you can't breathe, go to the hospital. That's not a form of treatment, he said. It's what we call therapeutic nihilism. Ivermectin, There's a headline here, cutting COVID infections and deaths by 75%. Taking a look here at Israel National News, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced Wednesday that the coronavirus vaccine developed by Johnson & Johnson has met the requirements for emergency use. According to FDA's analysis, the vaccine is 66.9% effective against moderate and severe cases of COVID 14 days after being administered and 66.1% effective after 28 days. Sad story, the vaccinereaction.org has a 58-year-old mother in Virginia, less than an hour after receiving the first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for COVID-19, after getting the shot at a clinic in Warsaw, Virginia, waited for the recommended 15 minutes to make sure she did not suffer any immediate side effects of the vaccine. Key's daughter, Lisa Jones, said a co-worker recounted that after leaving the clinic, her mother was trying to get into the car, said something was not right, began having trouble breathing, started vomiting. She returned to the clinic where a doctor administered a shot of epinephrine in one of her legs and a second shot in the arm, given oxygen. She died immediately after getting this COVID-19 vaccine in Virginia. By the way, LifeSiteNews.com reporting UK, a group in the United Kingdom, Oxford University's vaccine group, is recruiting children from the age of 6 to participate in an experimental COVID-19 vaccine trial, despite young children facing almost no danger from the virus, saying, "We have a new COVID-19 study open for recruitment. If your child is age 6 to 17 and good health, they may be eligible to participate," the group tweeted out. By the way, I should point out, in that previous story regarding the death, there were many underlying conditions that the individual had, the story pointed out. But they're also saying that there's not been enough tests to be done to know the safety factor of receiving the vaccine when an individual has underlying conditions. LifeSiteNews.com also has this news out of Israel. That came yesterday. Israel has passed a law which allows the government to share with other authorities, like local government, the details of people who have not taken a coronavirus vaccine. The law is to encourage vaccination. Wednesday, the law was passed in Israel's parliament, the Knesset, by a vote of 30 to 13. Under the details of the law, the personal information of those who have refused the COVID-19 experimental vaccines would be collected and shared to relevant bodies by the health ministry. The Knesset revealed that the information will be transferred to local authorities subject to an active request and the presentation of a vaccination plan. Presenting the bill, member of the Knesset Haim Katz of Prime Minister Netanyahu's Likud party said, the vaccinations are a must, and this law is meant to increase the number of inoculations among those who are under the impression that they do not need to get vaccinated. LifeNews.com. It was another record year for the abortion giant Planned Parenthood. Although Planned Parenthood bills itself as a women's health organization, reality is little more than an abortion business, they report. Its 2019 annual report, released this week, shows that Planned Parenthood aborted over 354,000 babies, an increase of over 9,000 babies killed in abortions compared to the year before. And the 2018 annual report showed that it was a 3.51% increase from the previous year. That means Planned Parenthood killed almost 34,000 more unborn babies than it did 2 years ago, even though the abortion giant claims its main focus is merely women's health care. As LifeNews.com points out, between 2009 and 2019, Planned Parenthood has provided significantly fewer health services. And you find that they do little with women's health. WND.com says, follow the money. Planned Parenthood's on the verge of becoming a monopoly in the abortion industry. Documents that Planned Parenthood received $618.1 million, 38% of its funding from government grants and contracts, mostly through Medicaid. A federal judge in South Carolina quickly blocked a pro-life law last Friday that could save thousands of unborn babies from abortion every year, LifeNews.com reports. U.S. District Judge Mary Geiger Lewis, an appointee of President Barack Obama, agreed to temporarily block the South Carolina Fetal Heartbeat and Protection from Abortion Act in response to a lawsuit filed by Planned Parenthood and the Greenville Women's Clinic. South Dakota Governor Noem has assigned a Born Alive bill requiring doctors to treat all children equally, even those that have been born as a result of a botched abortion. Life News also reporting the Arkansas Unborn Child Protection Act will ban abortions unless it's to save a mother's life. The bill now heads to the Republican-controlled State House. Planned Parenthood Great Plains opposed the bill, said saving babies is not important during a pandemic. Now goes to a committee there. Let's see. Western Journal reporting Supreme Court Monday granted a review to a case challenging a Trump administration policy that barred family planning funding from going to abortion providers. The Trump administration had issued rules in 2019 banning any providers that received Title X funds from referring people for abortions while mandating referrals to prenatal services for all pregnant patients. We understand the Supreme Court is going to be reviewing that. And LifeNews.com saying Texas, a new target of the Satanic Temple and its plans to challenge pro-life laws based on the notion that aborting an unborn baby is a, quote, religious right. Texas requires abortion facilities to provide informed consent information to women at least 24 hours prior to doing an abortion, includes requiring abortion facilities to an ultrasound, share the unborn baby's image with the mother, as well as provide an informational pack about the abortion, fetal development, abortion risk, resources for parenting and adoption. The lawsuit filed on behalf of an anonymous Texas woman or member is pregnant, alleges that these laws violate her religious beliefs. In August, the Satanic Temple admitted proudly that its belief system on abortion is a religious ritual similar to communion or baptism for Christians. That same month, it raffled off a free abortion to raise money for its planned lawsuits. The abortion ritual affirms choice and removes shame and guilt, said spokesperson Lucian Greaves, told the Dallas Observer. New Mexico, a radical pro-abortion bill that may cause doctors and nurses to flee the state passed the New Mexico legislature last Friday. State Senate Bill 10 that allows unborn babies to be aborted for any reason up to birth is expected to become law. It passed the House last Friday with all Republicans and six Democrats voting against it. New Mexico already allows unborn babies to be aborted for any reason up to birth. It's home to one of the few abortion facilities in the country that advertises abortions in the third trimester. But if enacted, this bill will repeal the only conscience protections for medical workers in the state. And by the way, as President Trump has been called the most pro-life president, President Biden's being referred to as the most pro-abortion president in the history of our nation. Even with his recent appointment of California Attorney General Xavier Becerra to be Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. We're going to open phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these or current event news stories, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 for today's Crosstalk. By the way, coming to us from CBN News, now that Democrats are in charge of Washington, critics say they're started to mimic big tech censorship, using their power to go after those who don't see things the same way they do, especially in social media and cable news. That concern is partly fueled by a new effort that is to target right-leaning TV news outlets. The Washington Examiner reports that Representatives Anna Esho and Jerry McNerney, two California Democrats who both sit on the committee, sent a letter to multiple TV service providers. In that letter asked, are you planning to continue carrying Fox News, Newsmax, and OANN on UVerse, DirecTV, and AT&T, both now and beyond any contract renewal date? And if so, why? If so, why? Pressure being placed on cable systems to reject conservative news voices. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I spent hours listening to the keynote addresses from the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Conference. Hours, boring hours, listening to pull out the few nuggets. What were they saying that I call nuggets? Well, they were spilling their guts on what they really want to accomplish, which is global fascism. They were openly talking about merging big government and big business. They were talking about social credit scores virtually for American corporations and all corporations worldwide. Those corporations that obey the political correctness when it comes to radical environmentalism, social justice, critical race theory, and others, well, they'll be rewarded. They openly called for punishment on the corporations that don't obey. Understand, social credit scores are coming for individuals and for your small business, and they will punish you if you don't get in line.
We're taking your calls today at Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. Let's begin in East Troy, Wisconsin. And William, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, thank you for playing that clip with Senator Rand Paul. I've sent Senator Rand Paul thank you cards in the past. One point, Dr. Levine will never be a woman because his DNA biologically, he will always be a man. And if I could issue a small challenge, Brother Jim, to the pastors, stand upon the authority of God's word and preach the whole counsel of God. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must stand upon God's authority and try to win souls to Christ, because this is an evil, wicked agenda where they are trying to promote this kind of thing to a, you mentioned in the UK, he mentioned to three-year-old children, three-year-old innocent children. Didn't Jesus say it'd be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the depths of the sea instead of having one of these little ones led astray? This is a very sad day, but the church must rise up and pastors must stand upon the authority of God's word and preach the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, William. Appreciate the call. We have Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, the Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head issue depicts once again how the diabolical left is forcing the up-and-coming tater tots the inability to discern what God has made them both male and female, period, in regard to both sexes.
Hmm. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Jim. Calling about the LGBTQ confusion. These people that want to live like this, I ran the word confusion in the Bible, and the first time law first mentioned was Leviticus 18:24, right after 23, that talks about the condemnation God has for homosexuality. 18:23 talks about the condemnation of bestiality. That's how crazy this thing can get. America's one of our gods in America is sex. Sports is another one, but sex with animals, that's really should warn some of these people to stay away from perversion sex.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts there, Don. James in Skaney, Michigan, you're on the air.
Well, hello. I am a Vietnam veteran, and I also was at the Detroit riots, which were real riots in 1968. In Vietnam, there was much talk about body count. And you just mentioned the body count of aborted babies at the hands of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Well, they gave numbers all the time on the war. And one of the numbers they gave was the number of enemy killed. The other was the amount of United States citizen soldiers that were killed. And I want to make clear that a body count was used to help get government control on the COVID-19 situation. 500,000 is the number we've passed. 50,000 were probably unverified false padding of the numbers. 50,000 more were people that were very old in nursing homes and ready to die for anything that would tip them. That leaves 400,000 legitimate deaths. Hydroxychloroquine, which Trump promoted early on but was shouted down by the CDC, Dr. Fauci, and the media, could have saved 340,000 people of the 400,000. It's a therapeutic that could have been cheap to use. The big pharma wouldn't have made a lot of money by going that way. They wanted their vaccines, and they wouldn't have use the fear factor to make people compliant.
That's like ivermectin as well here, James. And
yes.
Inexpensive drug to manufacture, but money's not in it for Big Pharma.
Well, I get my horse ivermectin for $250 a tube, and it worms 1,200 pounds a horse. And so I'm familiar with that drug, and I kept it on hand even though I had
sure.
to put my last.
Tell you what, I've got just a couple minutes left, James. We've got your thoughts in here, and we've got other people waiting here. Thank you so much for your call today. Let's go next to Frank in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, Barack Obama is a constitutional lawyer and professor, and he's taking advantage of a loophole. Every day you read the litany of evils that are going on in our country, and what the loophole is, it exploits the tax-paying citizen. And you know, originally in our history, you had to be a landowner in order to vote. Now the vote means nothing. They even want to give it to illegals. But there's a special status that Barack Obama is taking advantage of, in that the tax-paying citizens who are gainfully employed and not using government supports are being used to support all of these evils. What I'm proposing is there needs to be a constitutional amendment that changes and elevates the status of gainfully employed tax-paying citizens who do not take advantage of government supports, to elevate them to the point where they as a group can propose, they have a voice to propose legislation, and also to litigate anything that goes against their collective will.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. You got your point in, and constitutional amendment, of course, would have to be ratified by the Congress and then sent out to the states for approval. David in Pewaukee, you're on the air. Hello, David.
Hi. Hi there. One thing, just a bit of clarification.
Hello. Connie, Mesa, Arizona, you're on the air.
Thank you. Back in...
We got 30, excuse me, Connie, we have 30 seconds left in the program, so go right to your point, if you would.
Okay. The point is I have prayed about this, and this is what I received in regards to transgender. And that was, number one,
yes?
You are who you are through birth. Number two, men and women share the same hormones. Testosterone and...
I tell you what, here, we're out of time here, and I don't know where you're all going with this, but let me just say this. Let's just go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis, where God said that he created male and female, and that gives us what we need right there as well. Sorry to have to rush you there, but the clock says we're completely out of time. Folks, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.